Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, this is podcast number 48, and this is a player that at least a few of you have been asking me about for a couple months now, Austin Slater, the young outfielder for the Giants, somebody who's one of the few bright spots they've had, really. If you look at what he did before he got hurt and just the fact that he was able to come back, I think it shows you a lot about him and gives him a head start not only on his offseason where he will play in the Dominican, but also on next season, a chance to continue to try to win it. A starting outfield job here for a team that really, really could use a young player to step up and win a starting job. So Austin Slater is coming up. As always, before I get to that, a favor for me, if you could, it helps us to subscribe wherever you listen to this on iTunes or wherever. Subscribe, leave a rating, help us out there. And that is always appreciated. For now, Austin Slater. Austin Slater, first of all, I'm talking to you after one of the weirder nights I've seen in 6 years. I think for you, that's probably maybe the weirdest night you've had in the big leagues. What did you do for 2.5 hours? And then during that game, what were you guys doing in the clubhouse? What were you doing in the dugout during the game?
Yeah, so, they pushed back the start an hour before the game. So everyone kind of pushed back their routines. And, you know, everything was still kind of normal. And then we got out there, first batter, strikeout, and then tarps. So, everyone didn't really know what to do. I guess it hasn't rained. Rags Rigetti said that he hadn't seen that ever since he's been here. And so a bunch of us were just waiting in the dugout, and then we realized, you know what, tarp's on. Well, let's go inside and just try to relax and gather ourselves. So cards, guys were throwing the football around, trying to stay loose. And actually, everyone was having a good time in the clubhouse, and I think that carried out on the field.
I was just talking to Bochy, and he said it was fun because we won. But, even before you get the win, is a night like that almost – it's 162 games that break up the monotony a little bit of a long season like that?
I think so. You know, obviously it's easy to say that, having come out with a W. It's tough to go home, I think, at night when at 3 o'clock in the morning when you've lost a game like that. So, it's hard to say. I think we had one other game like that so far this year in Atlanta. We had like a 2-hour rain delay, and then it was like a 4-hour game, and then a flight back home that night. So that wasn't totally out of the blue for us. We'd had an experience like that before.
The good news for you is you were here last night, which is something that means that you were able to rehab quickly. You were on the short end of that. I want to take you back to, I remember I talked to you a couple nights afterwards, and you were pretty down noticeably and thought maybe your season was over. What was the mental process of thinking your big break here and my season might be over because of an injury, and then kind of the attacking, the rehab after that and trying to get back?
Yeah, definitely. I've found out, like, obviously the hard way that through those injuries, a lot of what speeds up the process or, you know, can help the healing process is the mental attitude that you take towards rehab. Because, man, if you're going through that rehab every day for 2 months and, man, I really don't want to be here, I wish I could be out there, and lose focus of the goal and mine, it's easy to you know, skip a set or, you know, not focus all your energy into getting better. And I learned that the hard way. I broke my ankle in high school. I broke it and dislocated it. And it was my senior year, and that really got me down. And I was looking forward to the draft and obviously college. I don't know how serious, looking back on it, I took the rehab. It's just like I couldn't get over it. I was like, man, this sucks. Like, this situation's terrible. And instead of, like, getting over myself and be like, all right, what do I do now? Like, how do I move forward? And so I kind of took the little lessons from that and tried to apply it to this. So the first couple weeks, or first week or so, I was pretty down. You know, it didn't help that I couldn't really move. And then once I started to notice like that I was getting better, and they started saying, hey, like if you work this right and you approach this right, you can maybe get back before the end of the season. And so we started setting goals right away. All right, let's try to get back by September 1st into some minor league games. And so that kind of helped clear my head a little bit and set a goal for me, to something to work for.
When they tell you whether it's Gresh or a doctor, you tore a muscle off the bone near your groin. I mean, what's the first reaction there?
Shoot, I didn't know you could do that just running. That was my first reaction. It's not comforting to know that you can do that just doing normal things. But, you know, when they told me I didn't need surgery, that was kind of a relief. They said, you know, I think a little blessing in disguise. They mentioned it right away. Obviously, like, I didn't think so much at the time. But they said, you know, in the long term, this could be a positive thing. Because I'd had groin tightness for the last year or two. And they said, you know what, this could clear it up once we heal this right and do the rehab. You know, you might see improved flexibility in your groin. So, you know, maybe in the long term, it's something that, you know, like I said, is a little blessing in disguise.
I want to take you back to that high school injury. It was, I believe it was like ultimate frisbee or something. What exactly happened there? And also, you were, from what I've looked up, you were, I think, the top prospect in Florida. So what happened there? And then what did that do for your immediate plans baseball-wise?
Yeah, so I was playing frisbee with some buddies after school. You know, it was first or second week of January, and it had just rained, and we were playing on a wet field, and I was wearing tennis shoes, and I tried to stop, and it was a non-contact injury. I just slipped and tried to, like, catch myself and just fell down on my ankle. It was kind of one of those freak accidents, honestly. Like, it could have happened doing anything. It could have happened on the baseball field just as easily. But as far as the plans went, you know, I was entertaining the idea of the draft. Would I have really gone? You know, I don't know. Probably not, but it's hard to say, you know, if someone offers you a couple million dollars out of high school as a kid, and it's, you know, that's a tough decision. You know, I like to say that it made a clear-cut decision, and I think it worked out for the best, you know. I don't know, had I been able to go out of high school, if I would have really been able to handle it mentally, you know, it's the guys that do it, it's truly amazing, because the hurdles that you have to jump to get up here, especially as a high school guy, it's a long process, and it's easy to get discouraged. But, you know, I loved my time at Stanford, and I wouldn't change a moment of it.
You did get drafted by the Dodgers. So now, do you ever think about that when they're across the field right now? That, I mean, 44th round, it's a no-brainer not to do anything. But that you did it, it's interesting to get drafted by both sides of that rivalry.
Yeah, it is, and it's one of those kind of quirky, funny things going forward. Now that I'm up here and seeing the rivalry firsthand, and realizing that this is serious business. But yeah, it's funny. I knew the area scout, and I'd played for him and with him for a while, and so it was one of those kind of things. You know, if your ankle doesn't recover and you don't get another chance at this, here you got drafted in Major League Baseball. So that was cool. Nothing more than that. You know? I would have never gone over there.
You're a Florida guy. Aside from they're a good baseball program, it's a good academic school. How did you end up across the country at Stanford?
Yeah, so actually, my dad and I, we used to take a baseball trip every year. You know, we went to Wrigley, Fenway, Old Yankee Stadium. He'd kind of tie it in with his work and try to bring me along. And we did San Francisco. And I remember coming out here and going down to Stanford, and my dad was like, yeah, this is one of the best schools. And that just resonated with me. From then on, it kind of was just in my head of something I want, some place I wanted to go. And once the recruiting process started to pick up, I sent an email out here, and they responded, and you know, it kind of went from there. I took an unofficial, and then liked what I saw, and ended up committing.
So you came out here to see a game with your dad at AT&T Park. Do you remember what happened, or what year it was, or what kind of team that was?
You know, I can't really remember. I just remember we sat over by the wall. I think we were the second section from the wall, down the right field line. But that, you know, it's all a little fuzzy. I think I was like 10,
okay,
9 or 10. So But I do. I remember the ballpark. I remember where we sat, and just everything else about it. I don't really remember the baseball as much. It was more the experience for me.
So you, I was looking up your minor league stats. I think you had 2 homers your first year, 3 your second year, and all of a sudden, the power started to come. We've seen it here. We've seen some of the home runs you've hit here, and some of the extra base hits. So at what point of your minor league career do you think that happened? And was there something that happened for you that kind of flipped a switch and allowed you to tap into that a little bit?
Yeah, so last August, I started to make an adjustment as far as contact point. It was one of those things in college we'd always talked about, backing the ball up, preventing strikeouts and putting the ball into play. And yeah, that's good and well and all, but you know, to hit home runs, you got to get the bat head out. And a reporter from Fangraphs was telling me like the average distance in front of the plate for home runs was like significantly further than every other hit. So like to hit a home run, you got to make contact way out in front of the plate. And so that was one of the adjustments for me, is just contact point out in front, because I could do it in BP, but during the game I reverted back to that natural tendency to back the ball up and put it into play. And it was one of those things where there's that fine line between striking out and putting the ball into play, and putting the ball into play weekly. And so it's one of those things with approach, like getting more at-bats, that I could kind of mess around with, and finally started to figure out how to do it. You know, it's one of those things that some guys just naturally do it, and some guys you gotta kind of figure it out with at-bats.
And we saw some of that the first time. If your season had ended, if you would have been set for, I don't know, the fall league or Dominican ball, as you're going to do, would you have felt comfortable with what you showed them in your month here and in your time as a starter? Or was it kind of important for you to come back and show that, look, that was a start, but there's more here?
Yeah, that was the mentality I had, is you know, that was just a start. It's obviously a small sample size, and it left a good taste in everyone's mouth, but you know, for me it was, all right, I need more than 100 at bats to come into camp next year and really try to turn some heads and make sure that they know that I want to be the starting left fielder in San Francisco. So for me, that was the goal. You know, could I have tried to take it a little slower and leave on that semi-high note? Sure, but that's, you know, you never know what they would have done this offseason. 100 at-bats is, you know, a sixth of the season. For me, it was to come back and to prove that wasn't just a fluke, that was the real deal.
I want to take you back to your childhood a little bit. Being from Jacksonville, I mean, I don't know the area. I've never been there. The first thing I think of is the Jaguars, and I've had a lot. I've had Beatty on here, and we've talked about the Patriots. Chris Shaw talked about the Patriots. Did you grow up a Jaguars fan? And if so, is that as difficult as it sounds?
Unfortunately, yes. I'm a Jags fan. I own a couple Jags jerseys. I hate to say that the quarterbacks have been shifting through a little too much recently, so it's been tough to keep up the jerseys. But you know, I think you saw flashes this past Sunday. We looked up on Houston, and they've won the division the last like 3 years. So that was kind of nice to see. And but yeah, it's been a rough, you know, when you're drafting in the top 5 for the last 6 or 7 years, it's it makes it hard to be a fan. But you know. You know, you got to stick with them and believe in your guys, right?
That's good. You stick with them. Don't turn into a – well, you can't even turn into a Niners fan now. It's not any better. But stick with your team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was a moment, you know, when I first moved out here where the Niners were dominating. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. And it could have been easy, but I said, no. You know, I'm sticking with my Jags.
There you go. So I've asked readers and listeners like who they want on, and a bunch of people actually have, not just early but also when he came back, said talk to Austin Slater, get to know him a little bit, they want to get to know you. So the last question I'm gonna ask you is, what, you know, there's not a whole lot of info about you, I guess, because you kind of came out of nowhere and took that job. So what don't fans know about you, maybe off the field, or what you do, or how you've enjoyed being in the Bay Area?
Putting me on the spot a little bit. So shoot, during the season.
Now they know you're a Jags fan.
So I'm a Jags fan. Right now, football season started. I'm all about fantasy football. I'm locked in. I'm checking the waiver wires. I'm checking the beat reporters on just about everyone, trying to get the info. During the season, I'm pretty locked into baseball, though. You know, I'm trying to dedicate myself to the craft. So I know like that's not what you're looking for, but I'm pretty cut and dry during the season, during the off season. I'll take a couple weeks off just to mentally just unwind and travel and sightsee. And there's still some things in the city I got to do, you know. See, I still need to head over to Land's End and do some other little things like that. But man, you know, I'll hunt sometimes with my dad. We'll go quail hunting, but during the off season, that's more Thanksgiving and Christmas when I get back on the East Coast. But I'm kind of transplanted at this point. You know, I shipped my car out and I've been out here the last couple off seasons. So yeah, if anyone has suggestions on some more activities I should pick up in the off season out here, feel free to shoot me some info.
I think you're 24, right? So you're 24. So baseball, fantasy football, that'll cover you for most of what you need to do.
Before the family starts kicking in, that's for sure.
There you go. Austin, thank you for the time. And I think people can send you suggestions. And I think you've shown enough that we'll feel pretty safe about you being able to go to Land's End next year or whatever else people send you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
It is out of here in the center field. Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.